We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Taliesa Fuaga is now a member of the New Orleans Saints. Make sure you read about that on neworleans.football. Use the code NOF. to save 20% on your first payment. neworleans.football/subscribe. Get all of our news, analysis, and extra podcasts every week, and so much more. And now's a great time to get locked in, because next season our postgame and pregame shows are going to be available only to subscribers. So again, use the code NOF to save 20% on your first payment at neworleans.football/subscribe. We're going to have a great show today. We're going to break down the Fuaga pick, preview who's still available for the team on day two, and get into so much more. And we will be right back on this episode of New Orleans.Football, presented by PJ's Coffee, after this quick word from our sponsors. The New Orleans.Football show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment, and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's get into the show. We are coming to you from our studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard, right next door to Matt Bowers Ford dealership. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned car, make sure you check them out. Great prices, great customer care, best car buying experience you can find. Check out one of Bowers dealerships for that. All right, let's get into our lead topic, presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Crown & Company Fine Jewelers has a great engagement salon. If you are in the market for an engagement ring, you're about to pop that special question, make sure you stop by there first and get the perfect ring for the occasion. And while you're there, check out their fleur-de-lis necklace and earrings that you see on your screen. The earrings are $1,100 and the necklace is $1,350. Tell them that NOF sent you.
All right, let's get into it, guys. Lead topic. Was Taliesa Fuaga a slam dunk for the Saints in round one? The Saints got their offensive tackle in round one, the position they needed most. No questions about that. They needed an offensive tackle. Maybe more than any other position that we've seen in the past couple of years that where they were like, okay, they have to get a guy in this position. And they got one of the top four guys that we've been talking about very recently in our analysis. So did the Saints hit?
I think they hit. Slam dunk, maybe to be seen. I mean, it's at least a strong finger roll. You know, you got to the rim.
They
you
scored.
Know, yeah, I mean, yeah. Look, I think the slam
they didn't
dunk.
Get the end one.
I think the slam dunk would have been like, you know, Fashanu. I think if they had got him, I would have felt like, oh, that's a slam dunk. If they had gotten there and there were two on the board and they could have picked one, I feel like that would have been a slam dunk. I think it's a good pick, though. I mean, it's very hard to criticize. I think the bustability factor here is really low. I think he's someone that comes in and is kind of has a really high floor. Worst come to worst, he ends up being a really good guard, and that's fine, too. It's not necessarily what you want at 14. But I think he's going to be a good tackle. I think it's a good pick. He gives him a guy that fits well. He transitions to the NFL, I think, really cleanly. Ran a lot of wide zone in college, playing for the Beavers. And yeah, I think it's a good pick. I mean, we said they had to get one of the top four. They got one of the top four. I don't really think there's anything to criticize here as far as strategy, thought process, anything like that. They got a guy they had to take with a grade at a spot where you're comfortable taking him.
We put slam dunk in the question because those were Jim Nagy's words. The executive director of the Senior Bowl called it a slam dunk, said he's going to be a day one starter. Slam dunk usually comes with an exclamation point. But the only thing that I think that this is the pick and that they made it at 14 is great. And if the draft had gone a certain way and he was the last one in that cloud of guys still standing, people would have celebrated. The only thing I think he's going to be judged against was that Leatu Latu and Dallas Turner had kind of surprisingly fallen. The top every defensive player in the draft fell.
Yeah.
So, and then Brock Bowers fell to 13. So he's being sort of compared against, should they have gone off script and taken one of those guys? But we got a lot of really good information about what their script was. And this was not we can't take the number four player on our board because we're stuck forcing ourselves to take an offensive tackle. They were all rated in the same cloud. I mean, they didn't dip into a lesser player to fill a need. I genuinely believe that. I think if he went 13th, I think we would have seen them take another position. So I think it's a win that they got what they wanted and that they didn't trade up. You heard me say that a bunch of times. I did not want to see them trade up. And Dennis Allen said it exactly. Just because this was obvious, just because a lot of people were projecting this position to the Saints, like he said, fortunate for us, it's not all too often that the depth of the draft, which was tackle, four guys taken in the top 15, and the position of need really marry up, but this year they married up. We were saying that in January. We were saying they should get their offensive lineman in the draft. They should get their edge rusher in free agency because this draft is loaded with guys. And that's exactly how it played out because it was obvious. This was a good plan and it worked.
Yeah.
I think the only guy possibly that was picked in that range that they passed on that they might have had a higher grade on was Latu. And it was like right there.
Yeah.
And I think then that's where you look at position of need versus value. I mean, they needed the end. You know, that's just kind of like talk of like, you know, beforehand, like how the cloud stacks up or whatever. It could have been the other way, but he was the only one that I heard kind of maybe was in that spot where they would have considered him. But I think, you know, again, those two axes have to meet, and you can't pass on your starting tackle when you sign Chase Young in free agency. And that was maybe the only one, but that's not a reach. I think it's a decision that you have to make. And if they hadn't picked a tackle, and you end up getting shot out at 45 again, it's an absolute disaster, I think. I think you got to get one guy. I think they would probably be okay with getting another one in this draft. I think it's something that's probably under consideration if things line up a certain type of way. But I think you got one, you can go into free agency and get another. You throw Penning into the mix, they compete, you see what kind of happens. But if this guy is somebody that's a functional starter on day one, and he should be, I think you've set yourself up to be in a really good position, and you aren't trying to cobble everything together. And that's a decision you have to make every single time. I have no complaints here. There's nobody that I'm looking down on this list. And it's like, oh my God, how did they pass on him? Right. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you had to do this, and it's not something you feel bad about having to do. You did it, and it feels like you paid the right price.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, there's nothing wrong with this pick. There's nothing wrong with the value of this pick. It's only just that weird vibe that you get that the Saints were so stuck into one of the, like Brandon said in the intro, one of the biggest needs we've ever seen them have. But they kind of let themselves go into the draft with that need because they thought there was a really, really good chance it was going to work out that way with all the research they did. With all the research we did, every mock draft we did, this is what we were all predicting would happen too. The one thing that interested me most beyond just he plays tackle, mm-hmm. and we talked about how well he fits, he's got the wide zone experience at Oregon State, and they're going to run a lot of wide zone here. Dennis Allen was talking about the culture he could bring, the toughness he could bring. He said he thinks he's got the culture builder type of personality. They loved how mean and tough he was. It's the first thing Dennis Allen said to him when he got him on the phone. And that is something that they admitted they were missing last year. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line in general was getting pushed around last year. They want to reestablish an offensive line that's different. And this is, you know, he kept saying a lot of things. Man's man, grown man, tough guy, felt like a mature, felt like an adult. Like, I think he could very quickly be sort of an alpha on this offensive line too, which is not the case with a couple of guys that they've added to the line recently.
Yeah, sticking to what you're saying about, you know, us being able to speak with DA last night, we also got a chance to talk to Fuaga, and he was talking about the water boy mentality of, you know, I got to protect my family, and now the Saints are his family. So where does he fit? I mean, you kind of referenced it just now, but where does he fit in the Saints' offense?
I think coming into it right away, he's probably the right tackle. I think that's where he starts out at. You put Penning on the left side, and you hope that those are your two starters next year. And, you know, we've talked a bunch in theory about, like, how they would do it if you throw him in, cross-train him, let him go. And I think that's the approach they would have taken, but you don't really have to do that now. You can kind of slot these guys in at their sides, and now if a need comes, you can maybe push Fuaga to the left and put Udo to the right or whatever it is. Like, if that's the direction you want to go. But I don't think you start out with that mentality of, like, where does everybody slot in? It's kind of clean where everybody slots in. So that's kind of a good thing about this. It doesn't necessarily have to change the plan for Penning. He can keep doing everything left-handed all offseason. I think maybe you try to do a little bit of cross just to make sure that you're preparing for all contingencies. But it's kind of clean how these guys can kind of fit in together with each other.
I mean, that's what we're going to see when they start installing. When he learns the playbook, he'll learn it at right tackle, the position he's played. Now, he says he feels comfortable playing left tackle. Jim Nagy, other prognosticators, said he projects as someone who looks like he can move to left tackle. Dennis Allen said, we're willing to consider him at right or left tackle, but Dennis Allen did say tackle, not guard, even though a lot of people think his future might be a guard, maybe long-term. It would be, but for here, it's one tackle spot or the other. I think the only reason you would cross-train him and maybe move him is what you said, is if it just doesn't happen for Penning and this guy becomes your best left tackle, then you move him to left tackle and Landon Young or Ole Udo becomes your right tackle or something like that. But there's no reason to move Penning to right tackle and move him to left tackle. There's absolutely no reason to do that.
Yeah, I mean, my only, like, real concern for him, and I want to make sure I got the right number up,
Arm length.
I think there's a real possibility. I was looking at the arm length last night, and I just want to make sure I say the number definitely right, 33 and an eighth. I think that there's probably a real possibility, and I haven't had the chance to look this up yet, but I would bet that there is a real possibility that he has the shortest arms of any starting tackle in the NFL. And, you know, I think that is something we'd be remiss not to mention. DA said he doesn't view it as an issue. It's something that a lot of people didn't see as an issue. You know, going back to the Senior Bowl, I remember watching clips after it came out, and there were a few plays where it looked like Latu kind of long-armed him a little bit, and it's something that I do think that has to be mentioned, and it's something that he's probably had to overcome with this technique all throughout his career. I'm sure he has a plan for how to do it. I'm sure that this was something that was discussed and studied and all that, but as we're talking about all the positives, the one thing that I think that does give you a little bit of concern is that, and it's something that I... You know, I just wouldn't feel right mentioning. I'm not ringing an alarm on it, but it is something that I think that needs to be monitored, at least moving forward throughout his early career, just to make sure that, okay, This isn't a thing. But the thing is, if it is a thing, you can slide him in the guard. Yeah. I think he'd be really good at it. But I think that that was probably something that they definitely looked at when there's an exception. Their thing with exceptions is does the guy walk on water? They must have felt that way going through it. And they felt, you know, that's something you have to get comfortable with. And I'm sure they did. So we'll see how
Dennis
it kind of goes.
Explanation was sometimes guys play like they're short-armed on tape, and we didn't see that with him. But then again, we've said it a million times. Once you convince yourself you're in love with a prospect, you see past their warts. I mean, that's a measurement. That's not an objective opinion.
Yeah.
So the Saints have one piece of the offensive line figured out. What else do they need to do to kind of make sure that their line is shored up going into the season?
I think they could still add one to two guys, like to ensure. Yeah. I mean, they could definitely add two guys because I think there's still two question marks on the line. The whole entire, there's no left side of the offensive line right now. There's not a left tackle. There's not a left guard that you know for sure is going to play. I mean, even last night, DA kind of said that they can't view Penning as anything really right now. He's just an unknown. So that's something that has to be shored up. You know, I think between Saldivari, Penning, Landon Young, Oludo, I think between them, you're going to be able to find two guys. And I said it yesterday on our pregame show. I think Landon Young, somebody that could play guard if you need him to. He might even be a better guard than tackle. So that's something that I think that they could look at. Maybe Penning brings it together. Udo is supposed to be like a functional baseline type guy in the form of probably like a James Hurst.
Yep.
They probably signed him because they knew about James Hurst. So I think that there's probably, you know, two pieces there that they can be just not good, not exceptional, not anything, just like, you know, these get degrees type stuff. Like, I think there's a way that they can get their degree with these guys. Yeah. You don't necessarily feel good about it when you're filling out an application. You aren't going to put your GPA next to, you know, your degree. But I think that there's a way to get through the season with them. But you would feel better. And I think there's a way to excel. I think adding one more guy to the mix would make me feel a lot better about it.
Yeah, no question. I think one more. I think if they draft a guy in round two tonight, then maybe you don't have to call Andres Pete. If you miss in round two tonight, maybe you do have to call Andres Pete or, you know, Dalton Risner, who's worked with these coaches before, or we've said Mekhi Becton or something. And it's pretty clear where they would have to play. They would have to be probably competition for Penning at left tackle, unless that's where they see Udo. I could see Buaga and Landon Young probably starting out at right tackle. Penning and Udo starting out at left tackle, Saldivari and question mark at left guard. But depending on who you add, then you move Udo around or something like that. So definitely one guy missing, I think, as of now.
For sure. I think there's a – I'm just saying, like, I think there's a real chance that Landon Young competes at guard. I think there's a real chance that they try him at guard.
They like Landon Young. They really do. But he would be not a solution, but a plug-in and hope.
A functional
probably.
Starter. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. One of the funnier things about the NFL is that it's a 24-hour machine. And, you know, after all the picks that came in, you start analyzing the picks. And now, in between day one and day two, you start to hear everything on Twitter about, oh, this should have happened. Oh, they were looking into this. So what were some other scenarios that could have played out last night?
For the Saints?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a handful of things that could have played out. I mean, they, you know, maybe they consider going back. I know there's some talk about them going up. I was unable to I don't know what you heard. I mean, was unable to verify that at all. Like, I wasn't able to get any type of confirmation on them trying to,
I mean,
to
we,
jump up.
We got confirmation that they didn't, but obviously, you know, is that the kind of thing that you try to keep quiet? But trusted sources, everything we heard, like I never heard that anywhere except for a couple of reports that, you know, trying to move up and who they were trying to move up for. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit with everything we've heard.
The belief in the strong belief in NFL circles was that Atlanta was moving back. So I don't even know that you felt like if that was a guy you had to get, I don't know. You never know. I mean, but that's not something we were able to
right.
find out ourselves as far as
and
happening
also,
the moving up for Penix thing. Like, we just weren't able
were
to
if they were trying
to
move up for Penix, why didn't they succeed? Like the Saints aren't afraid to overpay if they really want a guy.
Yeah. Look, and it doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It's just we were unable to figure that out. Right. So it just kind of, you know, it is what it is. I think they got the player they were going to take. I think if they were sitting there and drafting, they got the player they were going to take. Yeah. It's the scenario that was discussed for months going into it. I don't think there was a lot of variance here as far as who they were going to draft at that position. I don't think they would have selected Brock Bowers if he fell another pick. So I just don't think that that it, there's a lot of what if here. I think it just kind of played out as, unless there was like some other type of possible movement, but I think this was kind of it.
I think the big thing that happened was Fashanu not going until 11. The big thing that happened was Penix going at 8 and Knicks going at 12. That let them feel comfortable. But what I am curious about is if somehow Fuaga had gone 13th instead of Bowers, I think maybe they wouldn't have drafted an offensive tackle then. Latu, possibly,
yep,
instead of Bowers, you think? But I think it feels like they were prepared to let the top four offensive tackles go in 13 once they saw the alternatives that were there. If those two quarterbacks don't go, maybe they feel like they have to move up. But they obviously felt comfortable losing out on Fuaga because of the guys that were still there in that bubble after six quarterbacks went in the top 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, now it's time to look ahead into day two. You know, our next segment presented by Hard High Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey. The Saints have the 45th pick in round two. Then they don't pick again until round five. Do they stay put or should they try to move up?
I think they'll stay put again today. I mean, it's possible they fall in love with someone and now the price of doing business isn't that bad. I don't know if, maybe you could just use one or two of those fifth rounders and move up a few spots today. I haven't looked at the chart too much, but I like the group available. I think there's 2 to 4 receivers they should like left on the list. I think there's 2 to 4 offensive linemen they should like on the list. I think there's 2 to 4 defensive backs they should like on the list. Mm-hmm. And I think there's 2 to 4 defensive linemen they should like on the list. So I think picking 13th tonight feels pretty good.
Yeah, I think they're gonna stay put. I mean, I think that the hope here is to get a wide receiver and offensive tackle. I think you probably prioritize the possession type receiver at the top, and then offensive tackle is probably second. But I think they're more than willing to double dip there. There's a handful of really good guys here, like you said, and I think you're comfortable with a bunch of them. I mean, if it's you go off, then and it has to be a cornerback, I think you're even fine with that. I mean, I think there's a handful of guys here that could fall that they would be okay.
I think we can see a lot of corners going. So if they don't want a corner, I think that'll be good for them. I think it's gonna be a really good round for wide receivers, guys we've talked about, Adonai Mitchell, Keon Coleman, but there's plenty more. There's still 3 or 4 tackles, Blake Fisher, Roger Rosengarten, Patrick Paul, but then some interior linemen that are still left.
Let's talk about the O-line.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think Paul fits the scheme they want to run. I don't think he's somebody that really kind of fits. I think Rosengarten does. I think that's somebody that would make some sense. I think Blake Fisher does. I think there's just questions with Blake Fisher that you have to answer kind of as far as just the makeup off the field. I mean, he's incredibly talented. There's just a lot of stuff that just, you know, there's just sometimes stuff that doesn't click. And I think you got to be comfortable with that and figure out the why. But I think if you're going OT, it's those guys. And I kind of take Paul off that list.
And you take, what about the BYU kind of project or raw Kingsley Suamataya?
I kind of feel like he doesn't fall there, but I was like so convinced that he was going to go at the end of the first round.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I haven't looked at him a whole lot because I haven't kind of considered him in that bubble. I just kind of feel like Rosengarten and Fisher are probably the two that kind of make the most sense for me sitting here right now. Yep. But I'll admit a blind spot, and I'm going to say it like a scout. They pretend they don't know anybody's name. I'm saying it because I can't say his name. I like him more than the BYU tackle.
Cooper Beebe, Jackson Powers-Johnson, Zach Frazier. I mean, there's interior offensive linemen too. I mean, I don't think they have to double dip on the offensive line. If they hadn't drafted one last night, I think we'd see maybe the possibility of them feeling like they had to force a pick. I don't think they have to double dip.
I think they'd move up if they didn't get one yesterday.
Exactly. And maybe they would have moved up already, frankly.
Yeah. It might have been that 32 got sent to the Panthers. Like, it might have been a move back to 32.
Yeah. But it's absolutely on the board. I mean, if we're ranking top needs now that they've added a piece to the offensive line, I don't know if I think left tackle and left guard are ahead of possession receiver and defensive line right now, but I think they're all equal.
No, I think that possession receiver, slight. Like, it's kind of like if you have to list them in order and you can't go side by side, you can't do the slash like they like to try to do on their depth chart and cheat. Like, I think that you would have to, I think they would put possession receiver at the top and then offensive line other. You know, yesterday was a gap. You know, but we've heard so much about their need for not just a possession receiver, just a big body pass catcher. We've heard that so much since the end of the season. It's at the top of the wish list. It was offensive tackle, pass rusher, and then that. And, you know, I think they got the top two. Chase Young's at least a possible solution if he's healthy. We need to ask this week about how he's doing, actually, too, at some point. But those guys, and then I think just you've addressed one, so it flips a little bit. So I think that's probably the priority. Push come to shove, you got two guys. You know, you got a Fuaga Latu situation. I think you swing towards the possession receiver over the tackle.
Well, especially if I'm allowed to say possession receiver / pass catching tight end. Like if they don't address that in round two, then that becomes screaming need one or the other.
I agree.
Let's take a look at the defense. They have Cooper Dejean, you got Kool-Aid McKinstry, Johnny Newton, and then Braden Fisk.
I would not. I like the defensive tackles. I don't know if that's going to be highest on their wish list, but I would have no problem whatsoever. Newton, I think a lot of people thought were going to be in round one. And there's others. There's like Chris Jenkins on here. Like I'm telling you, I think this is going to be a good round to be picking 13th. The DBs, I think a lot of I bet we see 4 or 5 DBs go in those first 15, 16 picks now. I don't know that's top priority for New Orleans.
Yeah, I agree. My friend Payroll would kill me for not standing on the table for Cooper Dejean, but I'm not doing it. Like, I don't think they need the cornerback that bad.
He could be a safety, though. But so they do possibly need a safety, but it's still below the other positions we talked about.
Yeah. Mike, I mean, that's your guy, man. That's from
all right. I'm on the table for Torrey Taylor. People, if I just stand on the table,
you're gonna do it. They all get moved to safety, man. You're gonna do it to them.
Yeah, that's true. If I stood on the table for every Iowa guy, then no one would take it seriously. But yeah. my love for Torrey Taylor is beyond the black and gold.
I got you, man. We see you in the chat. We see y'all asking about Penix and what the Falcons did and what that means for
the
Saints.
That's in our next
topic. And we're going to get to that right after this quick break. Stick around and, you know, check out our great sponsors.
Shrimp remoulade combos are back at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Zesty shrimp remoulade served with fried shrimp, catfish, or softshell crab starting at $10.99. Or try one of our spring specials, catfish Lafitte, or lemon caperfish with crab meat now at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience.
Welcome back to our studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. It's now time for our next segment presented by Jouer Productions. We talked a lot about how the Falcons might do in the draft, but they threw a bit of a curveball by selecting Michael Penix at number 8 at quarterback. What did we think of the pick?
I'm honestly, I don't hate it. I mean, It makes me think, boy, you guaranteed Kirk Cousins a lot of money. Too bad he wasn't on just a 1-year deal. Because, I mean, there's no getting out of that Kirk Cousins deal for like 3 years. Yeah. So the timeline is the only thing that blows me away. But like, if this is what the Saints had done, I would not have been upset with it. I mean, if you have been stuck in a limbo and you haven't found your long-term solution at quarterback, then take a shot on a Michael Penix. I think it's exciting. I'd be excited if I was an Atlanta fan. I'd be confused, but I'd be a little excited. So I don't hate it at all, but it was kind of the best case scenario for the Saints because we were like, oh no, what if they get Dallas Turner or Leiatu Latu and he's going to wreak havoc on the Saints? Or what if they get Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze and he's going to wreak havoc on the Saints? Mm. This guy's not going to be playing against the Saints for a few years.
You're not going to see him, yeah.
Yeah. I don't make a lot of it. You know, I don't make a lot of it. I'm comfortable with them taking them. I mean, it's weird. Was anybody expecting that? Like, it was probably the weirdest pick of the draft. If you're the Saints, you're happy they didn't take a playmaker in the top 10. Like, somebody that can kind of help them. It kind of goes against their whole philosophy of what they're trying to do. I don't know. They were kind of making win now moves, and this is like a win 5 years from now move. He might not ever play. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's the guy, he's the guy. And I mean, that's what we always say. If you love someone, who cares? Put him on the bench. Nothing's more important. If you just sign someone, and this is, man, I'm convinced he's a 15-year NFL starter. Cool, do it. Wait, do the Packers thing. But it's right now, it's a surprise.
Yeah, definitely a surprise. I mean, you never know how Cousins is going to come back from that injury, but taking a guy that probably isn't going to play that early is just, I don't know. You're doing a lot. You're doing a lot right there. But it's Friday, and that means it's time for two Martin's Questions of the Day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of Martin's is home to a wide selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's, so much more than just wine. Our first question comes from Sam West. Is DE a want, or are we confident in Chase Young, Chase Young, Cam Jordan, Granderson, Turner, Foskey, you know, the whole
running of the Turner, yeah. I mean, no, I think it's still a need. I think until you see Chase Young on the field, it's a need. Even with Chase Young on the field, it could still potentially be a need just because there's enough question marks. So until I think some of these questions are answered, I'm not comfortable saying that they're set at that position. And until I am comfortable saying they're set, I mean, that's how I kind of define a need.
They're definitely not set. But I think there's a threshold here, and we're getting close to it already. If they had added a Dallas Turner or a Leiatu Latu, I would have applauded that. I think the need to upgrade the pass rush is as great as everything we're talking about outside of the offensive line. But we're going to reach a point in this draft where they're not upgrading the pass rush, and they're just adding a seventh guy to that list. I mean, if you're not clearly an upgrade over Chase Young, Cam Jordan, Peyton Turner, and Isaiah Foskey, then you're just another guy competing for snaps. Upgrading that position was a huge need for me. I mean, maybe there's still a guy that they could take at 45 that's an upgrade from the guys we're talking about, but once we get past 45, I don't know that I just need an eighth body.
I think you just put that was the best way that could have absolutely been put. I mean, I think they have enough if-thens, maybes, possibles, chances, lottery tickets, however you want to put it. And at this point, you're pulling more. Like, there's enough things here. If a few of them hit, you got a decent situation. So you don't need that keep throwing in like a daily scratcher to it. So, yeah, I think you put that absolutely perfectly.
But I would have really applauded a Latu or a Turner.
Yeah, that's an investment. This is you're playing bingo here and hoping something hits.
Facts. Now, we have a personal question for you, Nick. Mike Armitage asks, out of curiosity, how many draft articles do you have pre-written?
So, yeah, honestly, like, I was all in on Fashion New early on, and I wrote that one, like, weeks ago, and it was sitting there. And then as I talked more and more, it kind of became apparent that he wasn't going to be there. And then this week, it kind of crystallized that, like, the odds of him actually making it all the way to 14 were kind of thin. So we wrote the Fuaga article. There were two. Most years, there's only one. I started feeling good about, like, my ability to figure it out in 17. 17 was the first year I tried. I went all in on Patrick Mahomes. I know everyone wants to debate like what they would have done, what they wouldn't have done, the after the fact. And I know who my source was on Mahomes. I do not believe there was any possibility they were taking anyone else if he was there. I know everyone can say it, but it's like if you're at a bar and after the fact you end up marrying someone, and say 7 years ago you're at a bar and there's two people sitting there, and from across the room there's the pretty friend and the good looking friend, and you walked over to talk to the pretty friend, but you connect with the good looking friend and you marry her, you aren't going to say to her, you know, that night I seen you, I actually wanted to be with Tina. Like, you aren't going to do that. So you aren't going to say, well, yeah, we definitely weren't taking Lattimore. They definitely were taking Patrick Mahomes. I missed on that one. I got it right in 18, 19, no first round pick. 20, I had Ruiz. I got it right there. 21, I missed on Turner. 22, I had Nalave ready, was not ready for Penning. Yeah. And this year we got it again. I took two darts, though. But this is the first year that I threw two darts. But it's really throwing. I just went too early. I cheated and I kind of got caught. So there was a second dart on it.
Throwing two darts is not wrong, though, because they let the draft create variables for them. Like a lot of those years you talked about, the Saints went up and got their guy because they they had a guy. I'm kind of proud of them for they also had two written up. They were willing to take either offensive tackle this time, and sometimes that's a good way to manage the draft.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to be subscribed to NewOrleans.football to find out who Nick has already written about for the Saints to take in round two. What you got to tell them, Brett? Tell them Nostradamus?
Yeah, use the code NOF, save 20% on your first payment. NewOrleans.football/subscribe. There is a bullet in the chamber for 45. We'll see if it hits.
Yeah. Appreciate y'all, and we'll catch y'all later.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.